Chapter 15. A Change of Realms. From Adam to Christ.
But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 30 and 31.
In the preceding chapters, we've considered something of the wonders of both justification and regeneration. It should be clear by this point that both of these mighty acts truly are the very heart and center of the gospel. What good news could be more glorious than the proclamation of restored fellowship with God, that the most hopelessly condemned can stand unashamed in God's presence, clothed in the very righteousness of Christ, and that the most loathsome and vile can become totally new creatures in Him. But, as wonderful as they are, both justification and regeneration are only a part of a greater overarching reality. The reality of our being in Christ. As Christians, we can say that we are justified, that we have perfect righteousness, and that we are new creatures, that we are seated in heavenly places, and that we are blessed in all the other ways that we have considered in the preceding chapters. Or, we can simply say that we are in Christ. For to be in Christ is to possess every spiritual blessing imaginable, including justification and regeneration, and every other good and perfect gift. Justified in Christ. All the blessings of justification are ours in Christ. In Christ we have perfect righteousness, the very righteousness of God, that I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Thus it can be said that we are justified in Christ. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. New creatures in Christ. Just as all the blessings of justification are ours in Christ, even so, all the blessings of regeneration are ours in Him. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. In Him, we have been made complete. And we are seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A dependent life. From these verses, it should be evident that justification and regeneration are not blessings that we possess in ourselves, independent from God. God does not make us new creatures in such a way that we ourselves become positive sources of righteousness, able to produce life in our own apart from Him. Rather, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Apart from Christ, we are nothing and can do nothing. All that we are and have, we have only in Him. Thus, the Christian life is a totally dependent life. This is our Lord's teaching in John 15. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We are not adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. But our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Emptied that thou shallest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Mary Maxwell. In Adam versus in Christ. This brings us to consider a final change of realms that is more fundamental and profound and comprehensive than any other. The change of realms from being in Adam to being in Christ. According to the Bible, all of human history can be summed up in terms of two men, Adam and Christ. All other men are in either one or the other of these two men. Those who are in Adam die. Those who are in Christ live forever.
For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 through 23. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 through 49. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Romans chapter 5, verse 14, 17, 18, and 19.
Notice that in these verses, Adam is said to be a type of Christ, and Christ is said to be the last Adam. Adam was the first man, the head of the natural human race. Through his fall, sin and death entered mankind and humanity was ruined. Christ has come as the last Adam to start a new human race and to be the head of the new humanity. Just as Adam represented and is vitally united to all those who are in him, so Christ represented and is vitally united to all who are in him. Those who are in Adam partake of all that was true of Adam. Those who are in Christ partake of all that is true of Christ. The characteristics of the two realms. The change of realms between Adam and Christ is the most fundamental and comprehensive change that any man can undergo. It includes every other change of realms that the Bible associates with conversion, including all those discussed in previous chapters. Notice again the two realms and all that is comprehended under each of them. In Adam, sin. In Christ, righteousness. In Adam, condemnation. In Christ, justification. In Adam, death. In Christ, life. In Adam, flesh. In Christ, spirit. In Adam, the world. In Christ, the heavenlies. In Adam, the law. In Christ, grace. In Adam, curse. In Christ, blessing. In Adam, bondage. In Christ, liberty. In Adam, sin reigns. In Christ, grace reigns. In Adam, under sin. In Christ, under grace. In Adam, slaves to sin. In Christ, slaves to righteousness. In Adam, death reigns. In Christ, we reign in life. In Adam, darkness. In Christ, light. In Adam, dominion of Satan. In Christ, kingdom of God. Christians have died to the old realm.
Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin, once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 11.
Once we have understood how comprehensive the two realms of Adam and Christ are, we are in a position to understand Paul's meaning when he speaks of Christians as having died to various things. In Romans 6:11, Paul calls upon Christians to believe and count upon the fact that they have died to sin. Similar terminology is used concerning the Christian's relationship to law. For through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God. The Christian's relationship to the world is also spoken of in terms of crucifixion and death. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Notice that our death to the world is tied in with both the new creation and our crucifixion with Christ. What does Paul mean when he says that Christians have died to sin, law, and the world? Certainly he does not mean that we have died to these things in the sense that we are no longer affected by them. This is obvious from the fact that Paul exhorts us not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Such exhortations would be unnecessary if Christians were not still being affected by sin. Romans 6:11 does not mean pretend that you are no longer affected by sin, even though you know that you are. Rather, the key to understanding the meaning of our death to sin is found in verse 10, which speaks of the experience of Christ himself. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Notice that according to Paul, even Christ himself died to sin. In what sense did Christ die to sin when he died? Was he ever alive to it? And in what sense does Christ now live to God since his resurrection? Was he ever not alive to God? The answer is clear. When Christ died on the cross, he died to sin in that he passed out of its realm and he now lives to God in that he passed into the heavenly realm at the time of his resurrection and ascension. Even so, Paul says in verse 11, Christians have died to sin by passing out of its realm and are alive to God by passing into his realm. They have left one realm and entered into another. When Paul says that we have died to sin, he is referring to something that has really happened. The Christian has not died to sin in the sense that he is no longer affected by it, but he has died to sin in the sense that he no longer lives under sin's reign. In the crucifixion and death of our old man, we pass out of the realm of flesh, out of the realm of the world, out of the realm of the law, and out of the realm of sin and death. Christian, you actually have died to sin, in that you have passed out of its realm. Sin no longer reigns over you. It no longer fits you. It no longer is you. You are no longer its slave. As it was with the wicked man of Psalm 37. So it is for the Christian when his old man dies. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. The wicked man that we once were is no more. He is no longer found in his place. And those who have come to expect his presence there are surprised by his absence. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you? How this unexpected change came about is explained in the preceding verses. He who has suffered in the flesh died, has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Christian, your death to sin is a reality. Therefore, count upon the fact that you are dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The certainty of life in Christ. Perhaps it is fitting to end this study by considering once again the unspeakably bright future that lies ahead for all true believers. every Christian should draw great comfort from the fact that he is now in Christ and united to Christ. After all, each of us has experienced firsthand the real and devastating results of our union with Adam. Our union with Adam effectually secured sin, condemnation, and death for each of us. Sin reigns and death reigns over all the fallen sons of Adam, riding them down to the pit of hell and destruction. But if union with Adam is this powerful in securing death, how much more powerful is union with Christ in securing life? This is Paul's argument in Romans 5. He repeatedly speaks of the work of Christ as much more effectual than the work of Adam. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is a terrible tyrant that reigns with such power over those who are in Adam that death for them is inevitable. But sin no longer reigns over the Christian. Grace reigns over the Christian, and it reigns with such inexorable might that nothing can stand in its way. Christian, you may be ever so weak and sinful. You may have every reason in yourself to despair that you will ever reach heaven. But grace reigns in your life. And it will never rest or relent until every sin is conquered and you are perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Hallelujah. Grace reigns effectually through righteousness all the way to eternal life. Now let my soul arise and tread the tempter down. My captain leads me forth to conquest and a crown. The feeblest saint shall win the day, though death and hell obstruct the way. Should all the host of death and powers of hell unknown put their most dreadful forms of rage and mischief on, I shall be safe, for Christ displays superior power and guardian grace. Isaac Watts.